Last night we studied the Jerusalem Council meeting, try to resolve the issue of the truth. This is the most important issue in TJC. The most important thing is to preach the same truth. The reason TJC can be held together is because we have the same truth. So no matter where you go, all over the world, in Africa, Asia, America, we preach the same truth. So there was a truth seeker visit the churches in United States. And before he left, he commented, "Hey, how come all your church preach the same thing?" He was a truth seeker in Taiwan for quite a period of time. And he come here and he went to the East Coast and find out all the preaching, we preach the same thing. Because we have same body. So we base our church in the same teaching. So chapter 15, they try to resolve the issue in a Jerusalem meeting. And they were very spiritual, very high spiritual level. So when they gather together to discuss the issue, they can start from difference, but end it in one mind, one accord, same conclusion. So today, we have to think about one thing, very important, what is so-called the General Congregation Meeting. I believe most of you have the voting right? Those who are age 18 and above, you can vote, right? So we try to, a lot of people try to apply the democratic spirit into the church, and it is wrong. The democracy in the world emphasizes on personal, every individual. You just voice out whatever you think is right. So they are so-called democratic, they are so-called Republican, right? And they are so-called independent, a different kind of parties. But in the church, we don't have any different parties. And some people try to brand this group of people called so-called conservative, and this group of people called so-called liberal. So within one church, they try to brand the people be conservative, another one as liberal. This is not biblical too. Why? Because if we all understand God's will, there is no so-called conservative or liberal, because we all understand God's will. But we do have different characteristics, and we do have different kind of feeling and background. But in terms of interpretation of the truth, we should be the same. So in the church, when we hold the general congregation meeting, the first and most important principle is everybody have to ask a question. What is God's will? Regarding to this issue, what is God's will? How do I feel is not important. In political field, how important you feel, that is the most important thing. So politicians always like to speak according to whatever the audience like to listen. They try to please the audience, so the audience will cast a vote for them, right? So, but in the church, we are different. The church is very different. If anyone who try to be political, very sorry, you come to the wrong place. Very political means you try to please a little bit, a certain group of people. So you try to say something, there's no biblical foundation. You try to say something against your conscience, but you try to please somebody. You say some opinion. In the church, we don't do that way. Because church belongs to God. It is the blood of Jesus Christ who purchased out of the sin. So we belong to God, and God is the Lord. So when the church has a meeting, general congregation meeting, you have voting right? You have to vote, not because your parents. You look at your parents. When your parents raise a hand, you raise a hand. When your parents put down the hand, you put down the hand. No. You should not do that. Because church is God who is the head. So you pray to God directly. If you think this is right, you just raise a hand. If you think this is wrong, you just don't raise a hand. Because it's between you and God, nobody else. That is so-called the democracy in the church. We base on God's will. Oh, and not because that person we have a very what, personally we're a good friend. Oh, so let me vote him at one vote. Or he can be a council member. And that person who speaks something against my will, my feeling, so I'm going to vote him down. No, in the church, we are not going to do that way. Oh, when you do a voting, who should be the council member? You just use a biblical principle to make a judgment. Does this one have good reputation? Does this one fool with Holy Spirit? Does this one have spiritual wisdom to lead the church according to God's will? If the person fulfill this requirement, even though you don't like him, right, personally, you still have to vote him. Because you're voting on behalf of Jesus Christ. So in the church, we also emphasize on a democratic spirit, but it's different from the outside world. So one day you may have a so-called youth group, right? Youth group, and then you start to have the youth group meeting. Design the curriculum, design the activity, right? I know a lot of youth, they just want to have fun. So you design the curriculum or activity, or a lot of activity, and you don't have too much of the solid food. All are the milk. So if we are the one who know the way of God, then we know how to guide the direction according to whatever can please God, not only please other people. When from the Acts chapter 15, we know this meeting beginning with difference, but ended in one mind, one accord. And in this process, they did have a lot of argument, but they emphasized 3 points. The first point, is there any biblical teaching to support our view? So they quote the biblical teaching to support the view. The second, is there evidence of the work of Holy Spirit? And they quote, Holy Spirit worked with them. So when they preached to Cornelius, Holy Spirit came down. That was the reason they baptized them. And they quote, they ask a third question, is there any proof of the miracle, wonder, and signs? And they quote, God worked with them with the miracle, wonder, and signs. So in the church, we have to be very sensitive about how does God feel. But in the world, we have to be very sensitive about how does other people feel. So that is the difference. If you can feel whatever God feels, you try to do everything according to what God feels. You try to please the one you love, God. Then I tell you, anyone who is fearing God, anyone who is spiritual, will be very pleased about your words, will be very pleased about your opinion, will be very pleased about your decision. But if we try to please man and forgetting to think about what God wants us to do, what God wants us to say, then for those who are spiritual, those who are filled by the Holy Spirit, they will feel very uncomfortable. After the meeting, they almost want to cry. Do you know? Why? Because they are holding a meeting centered on God. On men, not centered on God. So gradually, I think 10 years later, a lot of you is going to get involved with church board, church committee. Right now, the minimum age is 18, right? 10 years later, you become 28. Very, very possible. If you are very fervent, you'll be elected a church council member. At that moment, it really is count. How are you going to lead the church? Acts chapter 15, that is then this teaching. The only one thing in the New Testament besides believing in Jesus, right, and the teaching of the Bible and the Ten Commandments, we have to abstain from the food worshipping the idol blood and sexual immorality. Now, we already mentioned a lot about this, sexual immorality. We have to abstain from that. And then, verse 30, when they send people to proclaim the decision of Jerusalem meeting, everyone who read the words of the decision was pleased. Why? Because they have the movement of the Holy Spirit. So when the decision is moved by the Holy Spirit, those who have the movement of the Holy Spirit will be very pleased. Oh. So one day I was in Africa, one of the members here. He said, TJC is the place, most difficult place to preach. Oh. And also TJC is the most easy place to preach. Ah, I was so confused about so philosophical statement. All right. And I asked him, how do you explain that? He said, everyone have Holy Spirit. Everyone has Holy Spirit, right? When you preach, if you preach according to your own thinking, according to your own will, and those who have been filled by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit in God never moved them. Never moved them. So it's the most difficult place to preach. You must preach according to the will of God. You must be moved by the Holy Spirit, deliver a message according to the move of the Holy Spirit. So those who are filled by the Holy Spirit, their spirit will be moved. So this is the most difficult place to preach. But in TJC, this is the most easiest place to preach to. Why? Because the Holy Spirit will move you to speak the message God wants you to convert, to convey. So if you read the Bible very well and you pray a lot, it's very easy to deliver a sermon. It is not you who preach. It is God who speaks through you. Oh, just like Jesus said, whatever I do is not I who is doing. It is the Father who do his own business in me. That is so profound and this is so spiritual. And that is the goal of our learning. Huh? Now, chapter 15, the last paragraph, talk about Paul and Barnabas. Separated from each other. Why? Because of Mark. And Paul was a very strict person. He thought Mark didn't have a good spirit, so he just don't want Mark to follow him anymore. But Barnabas was a person who was more lenient. Mark's still a young person, right? So why not give him another chance? Oh, so because of this, they split. But one thing in common, Paul and Barnabas, both of them, in the initial stage of their ministry, they emphasized a lot of training up the younger generation to become a successor. So right now, if we want to ask a question, the ministry in the United States, what is the most important? Of course, you need to count a lot of things important, right? Evangelical outreach important, to take care of the elder important, but what is the most important thing in the ministry in the United States? I would like to say it is the youth ministry. You know, right now in the United States, those who are about 50 years and above, almost all of them are serving in the board member already, if they are fervent. And you look at them, most of them, their faith have been established and strengthened while they are in overseas. They are very systematic theology and systematic RE teaching class. So systematically their faith has been built up and they have a very systematic spiritual convocation or theological seminar. So because of this, they are strengthened. So today they come here to study and after the study and they can serve God. But can you see after 15 years later, after 15 years later, I think I will be retired. Because according to GA by law, there are certain age. When you reach that kind of state, you are retired. After 15 years later, you right now you're 20, then you will be 35. It's perfect age to serve God. When is the most perfect age to serve God, you know? It's the age of Jesus Christ. 30 is most perfect age. Mentally, you are mature, right? Physically, you are in the highest point. When you are the age of 33 years, it's a perfect age, just like Jesus, to be crucified. You can sacrifice yourself the most. So when you are 20 years old now, another 15 years, you will be 35. If you are very fervent, very possibly you will be one of the council members. So right now, you are receiving training here. It's not only related to your personal salvation. We emphasize a lot about personal salvation. Why you have to pray so much? Because you have to resist temptation. You have to resist not to commit sin. If you cannot resist temptation and committing sin, you are not qualified. You're disqualified from serving God. So this is the first point we emphasize. But one step further, we come here to receive training in order to prepare ourselves ready to serve. Right? So the first stage of Paul's ministry, he already chose Mark. Why? He knew it is so important to train up the young people to be a successor. Just like Moses. When Moses, not long after he led the Israelites out of Egypt, he started to train up Joshua. About 40 years, he trained up Joshua and want to be the successor. All right? And they don't Joshua train anybody. Joshua did not train anybody. So after Joshua died, what happened? It entered into the stage of judges. And what the stage of judges? According to the one of famous verses, there was no king. So everyone do whatever according to what they want. So the church become chaotic. Why become chaotic? Because there was no new generation to be in charge. No, not spiritual person to be in charge. The same thing, after Paul passed the mission to the next generation, and then you see the church start to decline because the next younger generation did not train up the younger generation to become a successor. So after Paul separated with Barnabas, what happened? Verse 16, chapter 16, Exodus chapter 16, verse 1. He came to Derbe and then Lystra, where the disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was a Jew and believer, but whose father was a Greek. He's talking about a person called Timothy. Was chosen. Oh, okay, thank you. Huh? Whether Barnabas is right or Paul is right? That's what you try to figure out, right? But you look into the ending, right? And Barnabas took Mark, and Paul picked up Silas, and all of them went out, and their ministry been blessed by God. Thank God. All of them are right. Maybe because God's will want them for work together a period of time and then wants to separate, work separately. And their work all been blessed. Oh, yeah. Because they have different opinion, not out of personal hatred. I don't like you, you don't like me. But because the way to engage the God's business, they have a good intention. Also, God bless them too. Oh, because they have two different gifts. Oh, right? Barnabas is a comforter. So his gift is comfort, and Paul was a person who is sowing the seed. Oh, yeah, okay. And chapter 16, Timothy. There are many good points of Timothy. Okay. What was the first point? Verse two, and the brother at the Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. So Timothy was a person who had good reputation. So this is one of the important conditions to serve God, good reputation. And in the book of Timothy, I think you already been learned it, right? Timothy are well-versed about the Bible. And Timothy has sincere faith. At least Timothy has three important points. But one point that the Bible did not mention, but you can understand. When Mark followed Paul for a period of time, Mark ran away. Why? Too painful. Suffered so much. Mark ran away. And Timothy continued to follow Paul until Paul passed away. So it's very evident Timothy was a person who was able to endure all kinds of suffering. Oh. Yes, compared with your family life, you live here, it's kind of suffering, right? But I tell you, when you go to Africa, the life here is like a heaven. Oh, really? Oh. So you suffer compared to your home. But if you really want to serve God, for 2 weeks, stay here, it's good for you. It's good for you if you really want to serve God. So in the book of Lamentations say, while you are young, if you carry the yoke, it's good for you. Do you know when you are young, your parents buy a good car to you, right? You drive Mercedes-Benz, you drive BMW while you are very young. It may not good to you, do you know? Because the heart, it's so easy to be corrupted. If you can maintain a good heart, of course, thank God, you have a good heart to drive. But so difficult to maintain you a very simple heart, a very spiritual heart. Right? So if we can suffer, we can suffer, and that's good. Let's see one verse. I try to show you. The book of Amos. Chapter 6. The book of Amos, chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 1. Start from verse 1. Woe to you who are complacent in Zion. Woe to you who are complacent. Do you know? We all want to have a deep, comfortable life. As a parent, we want to make our children to live as comfortable as possible. But the Bible says, woe to you who are complacent in Zion. And to you who feel secure on the Mount of Samaria. Oh, you feel secure. My parents have been prepared everything for me. So when I live my life, I have no worry. Sometimes it's not good at all from the long-term point of view. Oh, so to you who feel secure on the Mount of Samaria, you notable men and of the foremost nation to whom the people of Israel come. Now, what kind of dangers? Okay, verse 4. You lie on the bed inlaid with ivory. Right now it's a what? Beautiful mattress bed. And on a lounge in your couches, you have the best sofa, right? You dine on the choice lamb. Of course, right now choice lamb has a lot of cholesterol, right? But in that time, that's the best food. Oh. And the fatted calves, so they eat the best food. Verse 5. You strung away on your harps like David. So they prepared for themselves a lot of musical instrument. So next one. And improvise in musical instrument. In today's turn, you have a lot of CD, you have a lot of what? DVD, entertainment. And verse 6, you drink wine by the bowlful. Wine means, wine make you indulged. Lose your feeling. Lose self-control. They drink wine. And the use of fine lotion, the most beautiful what? What? 化妆品, how to say? To make up, that most beautiful material to make up. Okay. And don't you think this is what we are pursuing now? Right? But the next one is very awful. But you do not grieve over the ruin of Joseph. The person unable to suffer. You know, when you don't want to suffer, you cannot live a meaningful life. Can you see anyone in the Bible live a meaningful life without suffering? Can you name anyone? You can find nobody live a meaningful life without suffering. Almost all the person remembered by God suffer a lot. Not suffer because of themselves, but they suffer on behalf of Jesus Christ. So if we live a very complacent life, on one hand we thank God, but on the other hand we should be very careful. The complacent life will corrupt a person's mind, not physical body. For a long term, live a complacent life, you cannot suffer. If you cannot suffer, how can you sacrifice for God? It's difficult. So, NYTS, for a period of time, you suffer here. Thank God. Thank God. It's almost the end of NYTS, right? You still have three more days to go. But this kind of suffering is worth a while. It's very rewarding spiritually. So Cornelius, Timothy was chosen by Paul, and he has a good spiritual condition. So Paul chose him, tried to train him up to become a successor. And Timothy did a good job. So in 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, you see, Paul entrusted the mission to Timothy. Oh. He received the mission from God. He entrusted the mission to Timothy. So one day, you will succeed the mission the minister right now is doing. But please be prepared. You are going to live a most meaningful life if you are waiting to accept this commission. Let's come back to chapter 16. 16 verse 6 to 10 is talk about planning. When we want to ask a question, when I do holy work, should I have planned? Then you look into Paul. Did Paul have planned to do the holy work? The answer is yes. And also the answer is no. It's mixed. What does that mean? He did have the plan, but he did not insist on his plan. He did have a plan, but he reserved to be flexible about his own plan. That is the attitude we should have nowadays. Now you do a verse, chapter 16. The book of Romans, chapter 16. Not Romans, Acts chapter 16. Verse 6. Paul and his companion travel throughout the region of of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit, the words in of Asia, verse 7, when they come to the border of Mysia, they try to enter the Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus Christ would not allow them, verse 8. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. And verse 9, during the night, Paul had a vision. So Paul has his own plan, but he prayed a lot and asked God to guide him. And Holy Spirit forbid him, then he changed his mind, changed his plan. Holy Spirit forbid him, then he changed his mind again. And eventually, in the evening, while he was asleep, what happened? He saw the vision. And the people from Macedonia calling him, come, Paul, prince, come here to help us. So Paul finally went to Macedonia. So this is the attitude of doing the holy work. We have to have a plan, but we have to be flexible so that Holy Spirit can guide us. So we should not insist our own plan. If we insist too much on our own plan, what happened? God cannot move you. You are already fixed. You're so rigid. How can God move you? Even the Israelites crossing the Jordan River, what did they do? They had to separate themselves about 3,000, right? About 4,500 feet. So the priest carrying the ark had to walk in front of them. Why? Because this journey, they never travel. So they had to ask God to walk before them. So they keep a very flexible attitude to follow the guidance of the ark. Today is the same thing. Every day is a new day. Nobody lives their life second time, right? Does anybody live the second time, life second time? You never resurrected. How can you live the second time of life? So every day is new. Every decision is new. So what can you do? The only one way is you have your own thinking and being flexible and ask for God's guidance. So this is the way we do the holy work. Have planned and been flexible. Now, if a person make a decision and without God involving with the decision making, what happened? Let's look into James. James chapter 4, verse 13 to 17. If you try to make a decision by yourself, right? This is my personal business, nothing to do with my parents, nothing to do with God, right? Then in the eyes of God, what happened? James chapter 4, verse 13. I will go to this and that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make open. You are a man. Then you vanished. You see, this businessman has a very smart, well organized, and a very good planning. What did verse 15? Instead, you ought to say, if this is the Lord's will, believe and do that. Verse 16. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. You boast and brag. The businessman never brag, right? Never. So God, he brag. Why? Because he thought he would control on. So a decision about his own future, he did not ask God to join that decision. So in the eyes of God, that was wrong. In the eyes of God, that was evil. So a lot of times we commit sin. We don't know why. Because God has authority over us. We try to reject God's authority. Instead, we put our own authority over our own decision. If we push God aside, then it's wrong already. So when we try to do the holy work, it's very important. With the emphasis on God. Now, not on human being. Because we are nothing but a vessel. And let's come back to 16. Since there was a vision asked Paul to go to Europe to preach the gospel. You know, this is a breakthrough of geographical breakthrough. The gospel being introduced from Asia Minor into the Europe. A very important breakthrough. And that breakthrough was not by planning. That breakthrough was by the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So it's so important in TJC history, even the last 20 years. We can see so many breakthroughs. In the newly developed area because of the guidance of the Holy Spirit. The work in Russia, the work in Philippines, the work in Nigeria, the work in Liberia, the work in Ghana, all the holy work are not coming from good planning. All the holy work are coming from unexpected guidance of the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit working in the apostolic time is the same Spirit now working in the church. So we must have faith about this Spirit. We must trust our church to this guidance of the Holy Spirit. Pray more. And you are going to see God is guiding us. So if the holy work go nowhere, what should I do? Seems we plan this to plan that. Holy work go nowhere. What can you do? Of course, you may start to revise your plan. Well, that's one of the ways. Another way is temporarily put the plan aside. Let's all pray together. Now pray for a long time. Until the whole congregation being filled by the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden you see Holy Spirit is guiding a path you never planned before. So when we work with church, so important, being flexible to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So when Paul went to Philippines, what happened? God guided him to a riverside, and there was a group of women sitting down there and having a prayer there. And one of the women called Lydia, and she was the first seed of Philippines, the church in Philippines. So you read the book of Philippines, what happened? Paul said, joy, 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 from first chapter to the last chapter, joy, right? Why? Because Philippine church was a very spiritual church. But if you read the book of 1st and 2nd Corinthians, you can see Paul shed a lot of tears for the church in Corinth. A church of Corinth had a lot of well-educated person, but Paul shed a lot of tears. Why? Unspiritual. So the church in Philippines was so spiritual, has something to do with Lydia, the first seed. Do you know the first seed is the one who will lead the church? You know, if you are form a house of prayer in a certain location, when you start to form a house of prayer, you don't have tradition. When you go to a church for 20, 30 years, and that church already have certain type of tradition, and it takes time to form a tradition. Either this is a good tradition or bad tradition. If the church has a bad tradition, It takes you long, long time to transform the bad tradition into the good tradition. So when you are newly formed a house of prayer or newly formed a church, no tradition. And then the leader is so important. If you lead the congregation in the right direction, the church is going to have a good tradition. If we lead the church with the wrong direction, the church is going to have a bad tradition. So no wonder the first seed of Lydia did the church of Philippine become so spiritual. It's because she was a spiritual person. I'll give you some example. In Southern California, we have the church service at 11 p.m. or not p.m., a.m., right, in Sabbath, 11 a.m., right? But 11 a.m., you still see some member come 11:10, 11:20, right? In Northern California, they have service right now is 10:30. They have half hour earlier than Southern California. There's no time zone difference, all right? The same time zone. And how come in one area the member were able to come to the church at 10:30, in the other area the member cannot come to church until 11 in the same time zone? That is tradition. So you see, tradition is so important. If you set a good tradition, the church will move into a good direction. So the Philippine church coming from the first year of Lydia, we understand that maybe in certain time you will be chosen as a what? Board church council member to lead the local church. Try your best to have a dream, right? I want to lead the church according to the Bible. To certain type of church, like an apostle church, you should have a dream. And when you have the dream, start to plan and pray and ask a co-worker to share the dream. And everyone have the same mind, same accord, and try to step gradually guide the church to that direction. You know, some of the churches, nobody do the personal evangelism. So all the older members come to the church. But some of the churches, many church members like to do the personal evangelism. That is a tradition too. That is a tradition too. So this is one of the very important area we have to emphasize. So in this NYTS, we study the book of Acts. Why? Because we want to learn how to spread the gospel. Now, when Paul went into Philippines, what happened? Verse 16 to 18, one demonic, the demon was driven out. You look into this, the one who possessed by demon, he also know Jesus Christ, the highest one. But Paul drive the demon out. Paul was able to discern the spirit. Shall we read verse 17? Chapter 16, verse 17. This girl following Paul and raised up, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High who are telling you the way to be saved." This is perfect, correct, right? The one possessed by Satan, what she says, perfect, correct. Nothing wrong. But something wrong, verse 18. She kept this up for many days. So finally, Paul became so troubled, then he turned around and said to the Spirit, "In the name of Jesus, I command you to come out of her." So Paul was able to discern the spirit. Even the person speak everything right, but person no, Paul no. Inside him, there's evil spirit. This is the gift of discerning the Holy Spirit. So Paul driven out the evil spirit. And now Paul was imprisoned. So chapter 16, from 19, verse 19 onwards. All right, they were beaten, and then they was imprisoned. But 25, in the midnight, Paul and Silas was singing hymn and praising God, and all the prisoners was listening attentively. Hey, today, there is a prison so different, right? Almost everyone been put into the prison, keep on crying, right? When can I get out? No, right? But today, there was a person come to the prison and sing him and praising God and so joyful. How come this person is so different, right? Why Paul was so different? Because God was filled upon him. God was totally abiding in him. So physically, he was confined in prison. But spiritually, he was filled by God himself. So physically, he may suffer a lot of inconvenience. But in spirit, he regained that kind of peace and joy. So he was able to sing the hymn and praising God. So this is called abundant life. So what does abundant life means? If the life of Jesus Christ, in what kind of circumstance, no matter what kind of circumstance you are facing, you have that kind of peace and joy. That is the life Paul had while he was in prison. Okay, while he was singing and praising God, all of a sudden, there was an earthquake, and the door was open, and the jailer tried to kill himself. Why? Because he thought all the prisoners ran away. That was the most critical moment in his life. If the jailer killed himself first, he was not able to save. The second, his wife will become a widow. The third, his children will become a fatherless children. Oh, so this was the most critical moment to this jailer. However, that was the most important moment for this jailer. Paul said, we did not run away. Don't kill yourself. And Paul started to preach the gospel to this jailer. Originally, Paul was under the control of the jailer. Now, right now, the jailer bowed down before Paul and Apollo. Why? Because the jailer witnessed so mighty power of God, shaken the prison. So they were all scared. They knew something different. They knew something happened. And this something coming from Paul and Sila. And that time, Paul and Sila bear testimony for them. In that midnight, the whole family received salvation. The whole family were baptized. And the whole family was joyful. So in the apostolic church, you can see three different kind of family. The first kind of family is the family of the jailer. The whole family converted to Christ. The second type of family in Acts chapter 10, the whole family who are godly, the family of Cornelius. The third family, the family of Priscilla and Aquila, the whole family serving God, or the family of Philip, the whole family serving God. Oh, so one day, if you want to get married, what kind of family do you want to build? You can use the worldly standard, borrow the idea from the Hollywood, from the film you have been watched, emphasize a lot of material blessing and the physical enjoyment. But you also can come to the Bible to see what is the blueprint of a happy family. The first principle, whole family should be converted to Christ so the whole family can have joy. The second principle, the whole family must be godly. So your prayer and your life can be remembered by God. The third, the whole family serving the God. Now, this is the most beautiful family we can learn and to follow. So this is Acts chapter 16. So verse 35 to 40. They tried to release Paul out of the jail. Paul was a very smart person, right? So what did Paul say? I'm a citizen of Roman country, empire, or Roman Empire. Without any conviction, how can you beat us up? All right. So Paul don't want to go come out of the prison. So Paul, this person is not easy, right? You want him to come out. He don't want to come out. What can you do? I'm a Roman citizen. How can you beat me without any conviction my sin? Right? So they were all scared. So why? So they come and urge Paul with a very polite, soft attitude. Please, Paul, please come out. You can go now. All right. This is a worker of God. Even suffering, but with certain type of dignity. Why? Because God was with him. So we the worker of God, don't let other people sympathize with you. You work for God, very pitiful. Don't do that. We work for God. We have the certain type of dignity. Why? You are the ambassador of God. How come you want other people to sympathize with you? Even as a Christian, Don't let other non-Christians sympathize you. Oh, you believe in Jesus, how pitiful you are. Let me give you help. Oh, no, we are the children of God. We are the holy nation. We are holy priesthood. How can you do that? Oh, pray to God. God will help you. Oh, okay. Oh, chapter 17. Now, this is the Paul who went to Thessalonians. Oh. And when he went to Thessalonians, he had gone through a lot of persecution and suffering. If you read 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, oh, can you come to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1? Verse 6. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. Let me find it. Chapter 1, verse 6. You become imitator of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcome the message with joy, given by the Holy Spirit. 7. And you become a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. You see, the member in Thessalonica received the gospel under great persecution and suffering. However, their faith kept on growing, so they were able to become a role model of the members in the surrounding area. Do you know? Persecution, suffering make a members become mature. Comfortable life, it usually corrupt a members. You look into the historical record. Oh, the member in Thessalonians, under persecution, their faith keep on growing. Oh, they have strong faith, they have abundant love, they have a living hope. Oh, so the gospel keeping spreading out from Thessalonians. Oh, this is chapter 17. Okay. And the end of chapter 17, Paul came to Athens. Athens was a place filled with different kinds of people who talk about different kinds of philosophy. Even though they talk about different kinds of philosophy, however, they were very superstitious. Oh. How come a so philosophical person becomes so superstitious? Because they have been blinded by Satan. So don't think a well-educated person will not be superstitious. Yeah, a lot of well-educated person worship the idol because they have been blinded by Satan. And Paul was very shrewd preaching the gospel there. When Paul witnessed they worshiping a lot of idols, and in one of the idols there was a sign saying the unknown God. And Paul said, I tell you the unknown God. So start from there, he started to preach the God who created heaven and earth, introduced the living God to them. So tonight we are going to continue from chapter 18 to chapter 28, 10 chapters. This is the second and third and fourth missionary trip, because this is a historical account. So we can go quite quickly, only mention highlight the main point. Let's pray in silence.